Hey there, this is Aram, and I play Dr. Missy on the Dirty 20 podcast, which is what you're listening to. Before we begin today, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we record, the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations, and extend that acknowledgement to the First Nations people of wherever you may be listening from, be it in Australia or overseas. The Wurundjeri people have been caring for this country and its waterways for tens of thousands of years. This land is also home to some of the oldest traditions of storytelling in the world, and I'm very honoured and privileged to be able to continue that tradition here today. I acknowledge that this is stolen land, that no treaty was ever signed. This is, was, and always will be Aboriginal land. Now get on into that podcast, you!
The archipelago that sits just south of the grand continent of Talon is home to the Tilmiri, a exceptionally unique civilization of high elves.
The streets are paved with softly glowing cherry blossoms, which unleash their tiny little petals falling in swirls upon perfectly paved.
The leaves fall at 6 o'clock exactly every night, and by 7:30 that same night, they've disappeared into a fine powder and float back into the atmosphere, ready to be recycled the next day.
Everything here is perfectly architectured. Everything happens on time when it is supposed to, exactly as it is meant to.
Amongst the tall, swooping arches of the buildings, inside one, there is an entire auditorium full of high elves facing a stage.
The walls of this building make up one giant picture, the entire civilization of the Tilmiri working together to preserve a better future for Kel'Tharin.
Even though the auditorium is packed, there is silence as a speaker takes the stage. Their long hair flows behind them in slow motion, draped at their waist. They raise their hands, close their eyes.
They seem to float instead of walk.
Welcome. Welcome, one and all, to this momentous moment for the future generations of our civilization. Please join me in welcoming the recent graduates, the future leaders of our world.
This is, it's a graduation ceremony. It seems like it could be a religious one, but no, it's just a graduation.
One graduate, however, has yet to come out with the rest. They wait at the back because they know that their graduation is not like the others because they are not like the others. They are, frankly, better than the others.
In the wings, waiting for their special announcement, is Missy.
Well, is newly Associate Professor Misthrandas Kel'Thaladron.
Dr. Misthrandas Kel'Thaladron.
And one day, perhaps, Dean Misthrandas Kel'Thaladron.
No one has graduated with 3 degrees at once before. Elves live a long time, so they will often gather up all manner of qualification and expertise. But to do 3 in 1? Well, that hasn't been done before.
Nevertheless, Missy, not only having 3 qualifications under their belt, is also the ducks of all 3.
Missy takes a second to deliberately mess up their hair a little bit to make it look like this has actually been stressful and difficult for them, when in reality, they probably could have done 4. And this will haunt them for the next 6 months, knowing they could have done even better as they stride out to the soft clicks of their, and they know this deep down, jealous compatriots.
At this point, Every graduate and their achievement has been announced. They have their moment in the limelight, standing center stage to the quiet clicking of the crowd. But everyone has been waiting for this moment. And the auditorium breaks into soft murmurs for the first time tonight as Missy center stage.
Missy steps up to the podium, these silvery orbs filled with magic designed to extend their voice beyond just their vocal cords, floats before them, and they say, "Friends of the university, thank you all for coming here to celebrate not just my achievements, but indeed the achievements of the entire graduating class. While I admit that not many or any before have graduated with a degree in enchantment, conjuration, and abjuration all at once, I nevertheless want to congratulate my fellow students for all their help that I received this year from them. They will surely go on to help guide the Till Miri into a new golden age on Kaltharan."
Hear, hear.
A few of these students smile with their mouths, but certainly not with their eyes.
Mistrandas's eyes look into every single one of them, knowing that if they'd only been smart enough to ask for help, they would have finished higher. Mistrandas once again looks out to the audience and goes, "I promise that I will use my gifts, my abilities, to help drive our people to once again be the forefront of Kaltharan. We will lead the people of this world into a new age, an age driven by colour and all that it can do."
The auditorium erupts in the soft sound of clicking. As all of the elves, they stand and they nod and smile. And in the front row are Missy's parents. This is Thalassar and Mistros.
Thalassar smiles with a broad, broad grin, only showing a smattering of teeth because she wouldn't be so crude in public, but her eyes glitter.
After the ceremony concludes, Missy greets them outside in the streets of Till Miri. Mistros is the first to speak. "Missy, we are so proud of you, your mother and I. We are so, so proud. We have no doubt that everything you said on that stage was true and will be true."
I am filled with purpose, Father. I am driven to this like nothing ever before. I've been jotting down some rather interesting ideas that I intend to show the Arch-Chancellor in a few months, but I believe that there is a marriage of magics that even some of our greatest scholars have yet to think of.
Speaking of which, did you see the Arch-Chancellor's son? He only graduated third in his year. Third! Oh, he looked possibly absolutely ready to burst.
A little too much time enjoying the creature comforts of university life, perhaps.
Of course.
Missy smiles with their mouth, but not with their eyes, and they say, "Yes, very, very embarrassing, but really, thank you both. You've been so supportive of me in this time, and I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm going to go back. I'm going to get all seven of the undergrads, and then postgraduate, and research, and I'm going to do it all. I really am."
"We have no doubt, Missy."
And Missy looks up and over the flowing streets of the archipelago and on these sort of like arched crosses that go over the roads and connect the houses to the trees, to the ground, in flowing elven script. It's sort of a slogan that exists everywhere across the isle. It says, "Kaltharan for the elves and the elves for Kaltharan."
A few years go by, and Missy certainly has gotten those 7 degrees that they set out to achieve, but they've also ended up in a lecture room.
You see Missy sort of clasping their hands together, looking out brightly to their students, and they turn around with a marker on this like see-through whiteboard sort of thing that floats in space based on anything. And they say, "Now, if you remember last week, based on Thulman's law and using the Erd and Ard runes, we can link these two pieces of metal and they will stay stuck together no matter the forces opposing them. So we can connect several sheets of metal, creating a cube that doesn't require any welding, any use of outside color to bind it. It simply binds in on itself. And that is how QED... we can form independent metallic structures using nothing but the magic that already exists within them to bind them together."
The students cough, and it barely makes the plural because there are only 2 students in this room.
They look to each other with a knowing look, and they both roll their eyes.
"I just had to do this because I needed to get my credit up. That's all."
Oh my god, they are such a bad teacher.
Lithinium, perhaps you could demonstrate Aardman's law using, for example, the pens in front of you. You can combine those two things using the law of sympathy. So why don't you give that a shot? Demonstrate to the rest of the class.
"Aardman's law is outdated. We're only doing this technomancy class because we need to fill up our credit score. You know that it's just... I mean... Why are we wasting our time with this?
Missy, why are you even teaching this?
It's Dr. Mistrandas. Thank you."
Sorry.
"Doctor.
Doctor, Missy, why are you even teaching this? It is outdated and honestly boring."
At the top of the stairs to the tiny lecture room, clearly a forgotten room at the back end of the university, there's a little knock. The head peeps in. Sorry, this room has been reserved.
Of course. Time really passes when you're having fun, doesn't it, students?
Yes.
Just remember to go over your runes for next class. We're going to be talking about, and they sort of gesture their arm up blankly, and you can see a whole bunch of blueprints up on the wall, one of which looks like an extremely early version of some kind of gun. And they gesture up and they say, "We're going to be talking about propulsion and the condensation of colour."
The students have already left at this point.
Professor Melialis. I'll get this cleaned up. I'll be out of your hair in just a moment.
Thank you. And if you could also we're sharing this room with the wine tasting club. Just let them know that they can bring their decanters in right now. Thank you.
Of course.
Missy walks over to their desk and begins to gather up their papers and opens a drawer, and there is a small packet of chalk there. Their hand hovers over it for a few moments.
"No, otherwise mother and father will not let you come home for dinner again."
But they tuck it into their shirt pocket just in case.
Missy begins collecting pieces of paper, wiping down the boards, pulls off this last picture of the gun and sort of looks at it, and then sort of rolls their eyes into their own head and just scrunches it up and stuffs it in their pocket and just goes to leave and wanders the hall of the university. They don't actually have an office anymore. Their office privileges were revoked when they weren't pulling the necessary students for their class, for it to be a fully funded class. So they're just going to look for a nice, quiet corner in one of the lawns to just try and catch their breath before their class next week.
As they're wandering about the corridors, they notice that they seem to have acquired a follower. And as they're sitting at a little elvish cafe taking a moment, across the way from them, sitting at a table, a young elf man raises his glass, smiles.
Hello, I know who you are. You're a
You're excited in the fledgling world of technomancy, aren't you? Yes, I know that my reputation precedes me. Yes, I did create the whole new school. And of course, you're welcome to step into the class whenever you wish. We currently have some openings, so...
Let's talk a little bit about what's happened to Missy here, because they're clearly very, very intelligent and they have worked exceptionally hard. But in this civilization of Tilmiri, technomancy is, as the students put it, kind of outdated.
Why combine magic with technology when with a mastery enough of magic, you can do all the amazing things without the technology?
It just takes up resources and time that is, well, it just doesn't make any sense.
And frankly... it's a little uncouth.
As Missy greets this young gentleman at the cafe, he stands to his full height and Missy recognises the make of his robes. He saunters over to their table and helps himself to a seat. No, thank you very much, Doctor, but I believe I'm a little bit too old to be heading back to university at the moment. I believe I met you and your parents, what was it, a few years ago? Salazar,
of course, I saw Miss Sandra sort of stands and like does like a half bow sort of thing and goes, it's a pleasure. I'm sorry that I'm not dressed appropriately. I haven't been able to go home recently. Please sit.
Yes. I didn't call around at your parents' place for you a few times and noticed you weren't there, but I'm a member of the wine club and I saw you exiting the room and I had to take this opportunity. You must excuse me not making an appointment with you earlier.
Salazar is one of those people who you just know is super important, but you don't actually know what he does. He never really gave that away when he met Missy and their parents all those years ago.
Missy is like cycling through a dozen different reasons for why this person is talking to them, who they really are. And as they sit down, they say, well, you said you're a member of the wine club. Can I get two glasses of the Aegillian Red? But yes, I'm sorry, you have me at a disadvantage. I know you said we met, but I frankly can't seem to remember.
Salazar smiles, but it doesn't reach his eyes. He leans over to Missy and says, in a quiet conversational tone, now, I've been hearing that you haven't actually picked any of the seven schools of magic, but are in technomancy, am I saying it correct? Tech combination of technology and magic, yes?
Missy's soul flinches with the very recognizable disdain that word is said with, and remembers the same twinge on the word from their parents.
I do hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yes, technomancy. Well, I think that there are sort of fascinating ways in which we can... And they just sort of wither under the watching eyes of Salazar.
Salazar's eyes watch Missy for a time, and then... they flick down to Missy's bag. This is the same bag that we see Missy in the present day campaign as well. It's been with them for a very long time. Salazar knows that in that bag there are some blueprints. Early blueprints, but very interesting ones nonetheless.
Missy, may I call you Missy?
Personally, I'd prefer Dr. Misrandas.
You're... blueprints. I hope you don't consider me nosy, but I've been hearing that you've been exploring propulsion, was it?
Yes, propulsion and condensation specifically. I've through a series of tubes and things like that, I was thinking you could almost condense a spell or an element of colour into a very small thing and you could store it in items. So you know, you can give essentially magic to a non-magical person. You know, like giving someone a staff, but they don't need to be able to channel the color themselves. They can simply hold the staff out and expel whatever color they wish from it.
See, now, I find that very interesting. Because would you say that has some kind of capacity if we were talking about weaponry?
Missy's eyes sort of furrow as they sort of look off, just sort of like off in their own world. Like, I think it's been a while since they've had their ego flattered somewhat, so they're just thinking like, I mean, I suppose.
Because from my point of view, say a staff, as you used as an example, having a staff that doesn't depend upon the capacity or ability of the wielder, but in and of itself is imbued with the power to do extraordinary things, be quite a powerful tool.
They sort of pull this little piece of paper out and say, yes, you could, in essence, give the ability for anyone to cast Thunderwave or Shatter, and you could be clearing debris, you could be doing any sorts of remarkable things with just the push of a finger.
At this point, Salazar leans over and whispers, "This is extremely promising. Let me assure you, if you don't have any other appointments today, perhaps you would be open to meeting myself and some of my colleagues in the Queen's room of the university. If you need access to the room, just tell the receptionist that Salazar called."
Miss Randas looks off. It's been years since they were allowed in the Queen's room. They had their pass revoked, and they are overcome with the feeling of being wanted, of being needed, of being a part of all of this. And they just, "Of course, I can clear up the rest of my schedule somehow. thank you,
excellent.
Salazar.
Well, we'll be expecting you. It was wonderful to talk to you." Salazar stands and sweeps out of the cafe, his wine untouched.
Sometimes it takes a while for the things you deserve to come your way, and over the next few years, boy, does it finally happen for Missy.
Soon after we last saw Missy, they were taken up to the Queen's room and offered pretty much everything they wanted and knew they deserved. A corner office, a title of their own making.
Chief Artificer.
They were made the head of a very special task force known as the Tilmiri Reclamation Society.
This society's job was to travel the world and find lost magical artifacts of other civilizations, artifacts from previous incarnations of the world, and bring them back for an intense study and whatever exciting magics can be found from them.
Their suffering relationship with their parents also began to improve significantly.
They were so proud of Missy and the things that they were achieving, the things that they knew that they were going to achieve one day.
Missy looks up from their desk to the portrait hanging on the wall of them and their parents, all beaming at the sight of this new office, the smell of mahogany wafting in the air.
The walls are covered with Missy's recent qualifications beyond the 7 schools of magic, and Salazar walks in. "Ah, Professor, there you are, working away as always.
As
no
always.
No rest for the wicked.
Have we heard about the most recent exploration mission? The team is set to return soon?
Yes, so I'm assuming you'd want an update on the newest tools that you handed them. Well, our society loved the gadgetry you gave them. It came in extremely useful. And we were very successful. We actually came back with a much larger haul than we could have possibly imagined. All thanks to you, Professor, if I can give you that."
Missy sort of looks down and sort of kicks their feet and goes, "Oh, Thank you, Salazar. But obviously, what I do, I don't do it for me. I do it for the elves. I do it for our people. And for what have you recovered? What has been returned?
Oh, well, several artifacts of minor power, but a few of extreme power, which, as I'm sure you know, will be used to power this society and our people for many, many years to come. Now, I think you were mentioning that you were looking into some armor? Is that correct?
Yeah,
have to say a few of the society, not very badly, but did get a little bit knocked up, so we'd be very interested in that armor.
I was sort of, you know, I was playing around with some new glyphs, making, like, trying to, how can we make plate mail move like, you know, cloth and stuff? It hasn't quite got there, but I'm hopeful I'm just a few breakthroughs away.
Excellent. Well, I don't mean to put any pressure on you, Missy, but would this be available for the Society's next outgoing mission?
Missy looks up and sort of sees the hardness in Salazar's eyes, and
it's not a question.
Of course. If you can get them back to me, I can make the necessary adjustments immediately, and they'll be good to go.
Excellent. Well, you always deliver, Professor. Thank you very much. I'll be sure to please pass on my love to your parents.
Of course. They'd love to have you around to dinner again sometime soon.
Oh no, naturally. Well, I better not disturb your work any further. Good afternoon.
Missy expedites the process of creating this armor for Salazar, for the expeditionary forces. And we see Missy a few days later in one of the many kind of artificery cabals that they are in charge of, as these young prospective artificers now chomping at the bit to learn as much as they can about technomancy, although they don't use that word anymore, too clunky. Artificery is much better for them, as they are learning what they can from Missy and putting together this plate mail that seems to move like fluid.
Missy is sort of standing from a distance, watching, allowing their apprentices to sort of do all the nitty-gritty, boring work. And while they're doing that, Missy leans in and pulls off one of the buttons of each of these pieces of armor. And they pop them into their pocket and they go, I'm just going to duck out and review some things. You all are good in here?
Yes, Professor.
Yes, Doctor.
Yes, Head Artificer.
Thank you, Julius. That's what we call it now, artificery. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Missy leaves the assembly room and goes into a private corner of the building, takes out the button from their pocket, and begins to carve a few runes.
Once the runes are carved, they pull out a large chunk of crystal, a sort of throbbing green crystal, and they place the button at the very tip of the crystal, and light from the crystal flows through the button and balloons into the space. And we see a recording. Missy intended to put these buttons on to be able to watch what happens on the emissions in real time, to assess the pros and cons of this new armor, where the failures are occurring, and so forth.
This is the first time that Missy has seen one of these recordings as well. And as excited as they have been to work on this project, Salazar, being Salazar, has kept many of the details quite under wraps. Missy doesn't really know what exactly goes on out there.
Salazar, who was happy to accommodate every request Missy has always been very, very sure about the fact that he never wants any recording in the field of what Missy's tech actually does. Any advancements of Missy's technology have been because of their own brilliant mind. But not being able to have any feedback from the field is starting to get frustrating.
Missy has dealt with it so far, but Missy is not going to leak anything in this private thing. It's just Salazar wants results, and they do their best work when they can see their results in action, they can quantify them, and they can improve on them.
And armor's a tricky thing. After all, if you want to see if it's working or not, you kind of need to see how they're getting hit, what they're getting hit by, all that kind of thing.
They sweep their hand up and rewind. A lot of the later footage is just the Reclamation Society returning to Tilmeril, boats, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly, fire.
Oh, that isn't quite what Missy was expecting.
The audio on this recording is not the strongest, but in the distant corners of their mind, they can hear shouting, screams.
Missy sort of quickly leafs through the report from the last mission. It reads that they found these tablets buried outside a village in Talon, just buried in the ground. There was no conflict. There was no nothing. They push back a little bit further.
The tablets in question are indeed just outside the village, but they're not buried. No, they're on display. No, they're being maintained. They're being looked after.
Enshrined in what looks like a temple? A church? Missy watches as the Tilmeri Society barges through the front doors of this small little building, tearing through walls, tearing through curtains.
A person dressed like some sort of priest grabs the recorded figures by the shoulder and spins them around, yelling into their face.
Please! Please! You don't understand what this means to us! Please! Please!
They're cut off short.
One of Missy's own magical spheres shoots off a charge.
Even through a recording, Missy can feel the cold glances that the person in this suit is looking. They're not... There's no increase in heart rate. There's no extra adrenaline pumping through, just a cold, calculating look as whoever is piloting this armor looks around, sees a group of people running for the door, extends one of Dr. Mistrandas's amazing sticks, and a fireball blows out from it and incinerates this group of people.
Missy shuts the recording off quickly.
They stand in this space where they have conducted dozens of experiments and fixer-upperers. This place used to be a place of comfort, of a place they could get away from all the noise of the world and just hone in on the preciseness that artificery requires.
They step out of this plant and into the streets of Tilmeri, and it all just makes them a little sick.
The perfectly falling cherry blossoms, the arching architecture, all of it powered by the artifacts the society brings home. The society isn't one of its kind. There are several task forces doing this work to power this archipelago.
Several task forces doing this work with the weapons.
No, not weapons. We said we weren't going to use that word anymore.
They're used for defense.
They're designed to expertly carve a magical jewel out of a rock face. That's why we fine-tune them so much. They're designed to do these incredibly dangerous things for good.
Suddenly, Salazar's voice rushes into Missy's head, and the words, the conversations that they have had, Missy begins to understand them in a new context.
Salazar wanted Missy for their talent, for their skill.
Missy turns and looks at the building that they've been working in for years now. Notices that the windows are blackened out. Remembers the faces of the members of the Reclamation Society when they returned. And realize all the things that they have been pushing down, the feelings, the frustrations, the confusion. And they feel disgusted. They walk back into the office.
they leap into action suddenly.
There are tons of prototypes lying around this building. Prototypes that Missy has put together, whether for the society or something they do in their spare time.
These prototypes will be iterated on and probably eventually turned into a weapon. No, that's not the word. No, a weapon. They'll be used to make a weapon.
In their hands, they have piles and piles of blueprints of ideas yet to come to life. And they start to make a mound.
They head back into their own personal office. They close the door. They lock the door for the first time they've ever done that. They grab a bunch of these papers and they grab to what most people would be seemingly random prototypes. But Missy knows how these things work together. And artificery can go from being remarkably safe to incredibly dangerous with just a few of the wrong tools put together.
And Missy is the first artificer the archipelago has ever seen, which makes them the best artificer the archipelago has ever seen.
They twist this corkscrew-looking-like device into a big red orb. Cracks begin to appear at the side of the orb and steam begins hissing out. They could still turn this off. They could still cast the required spell that would calm this orb down. They can put the blueprints back in the drawer. They can unlock the door and they can walk out and everything will be fine.
Missy twists the device and the orb begins to crack. Begins to glow. There are arcane symbols of detection and defense that are littered all throughout this workshop for safety, and they start to blare like an alarm. The students, the apprentices in the workshops hear this alarm go off and they know the drill. They got to get out. Something's wrong. They don't know what exactly. They don't know how bad it's going to be, and whoa, it's going to be bad.
Missy walks out into the corridor, a small ocean of students pushing past them, but they walk the opposite way. They walk deeper into the laboratory and they get into the main testing room where they grab what will become the last gun they ever made. Shining and finished, it was meant to be given to the society, but they're not going to leave it for them now.
No. No. This one is Missy's. This one has always been Missy's and it always will be.
They get it, strap it to their back, and head deeper into the laboratory because they did figure out a while ago that this team was sometimes coming back in the middle of the night and getting into the building. Therefore, there must be a back way out.
The alarms begin to blare louder and louder, and Missy is aware of a crack. It's like 1,000 panes of glass breaking all at the same time somewhere above them. The building rocks and shakes with the force of the orb exploding.
Missy runs their hand along the basement walls, looking for anything, anything that could be a secret lever or something that would open a door to get them out of here. They sink into this place of cold calmness. The place you need to go to when you are holding the fuse up against the gunpowder and a simple twitch is the end of your life.
Their fingers graze against a dip in the wall that would be invisible to the naked eye.
They breathe out slowly and push their hand into this divot.
The wall opens up before them. It ripples like feathers on the back of a bird as it pulls its wings back behind it, revealing a passageway. Yep, that's the one.
Missy takes one look back, sees the fire begin to creep down to this basement level. They reach up and pull the bands out of their hair and their rich auburn hair flops now against their shoulders. And they turn into the darkness.
No one ever really figures out what exactly happened to the laboratory except for Salazar.
Salazar, kicking through the ashes of Missy's laboratory, doesn't believe that Missy went down the ship. Their parents might mourn their death, but he knows that without a body, he's not willing to believe it. He knows that Missy was too clever, even for themselves. And so he has his team digging up the remains for anything that can survive the fire.
And at the bottom, because Missy designed a lot of the countermeasures in this lab, and Missy is very good at their job, at the very bottom is a small drawer that had been enchanted to resist fire.
He may have lost his chief artificer, but he didn't lose the thing he really wanted all along.